الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Excuse me. أما بعد، praise due to Allah. As to what follows, Sheikh al-Islam Abu al-Abbas ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, our beloved Sheikh whom we never met, but we ask Allah Azza wa Jal wa alaykum salam to join us with him in Jannah, wallahi. This is a man that has benefited the Ummah by the will of Allah tremendously. So much so that, you know, 700 some years later we're sitting here at Mushrifa Da'wah Center discussing a book which the Shaykh authored. It's a small book that was expounded on by Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen. And we have made it up to the very critical point of Allah's rising above the throne, or what is known in Arabic as istiwa'ullahi ala arshihi. Istiwa'ullah ala arshih. The rising of Allah over or above the throne. Sharh. ذكر المؤلف رحمه الله ثبوت استواء الله على عرشه وأنه في سبعة مواضع من القرآن. The author, may Allah have mercy on him, has affirmed Allah's rising above the throne and that has occurred or was mentioned in seven different occasions in the Quran. You know that? Who knew that before? The rising of Allah above the throne, particularly above the throne, was mentioned seven times in the Quran. For what? Emphasis. It is important. It is important to believe in that. The first of which, الموضع الأول قوله في سورة الأعراف. The first time it was mentioned in this order, excuse me, سورة الأعراف. إن ربكم الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم استوى على العرش. Indeed, your Lord is Allah who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Then he rose over the throne. The Shaykh, this is Surah Al-A'raf, verse 54. The Shaykh says, Allahu khabar inna. Inna rabbakumullah. This is grammar. In grammar, in the Arabic language, we have what is known as mubtada wa khabar. Right? The mubtada is that which begins something, and khabar is the information concerning that. In English, this is similar to what is known as subject and predicate. Not necessarily. I mean, yeah, but anyways. نعم جملة اسمية طيب. That is similar to subject and predicate in English. Like, the boy went to school. The boy is the subject. The predicate is went to school. It tells you what the boy did. Any information concerning the boy becomes the predicate of that subject. Whatever. English grammar sucks. But people have to learn it. Anyways, and this is not really the same, but somewhat close. So Allah, the lafd here, we said, what do we call this? Lafdul Jalala. Alhamdulillah. Lafdul Jalala. Because we don't want to say Allah is news for something, because there may be an issue in the connotation here, using the term Allah, because the people perceive Allah Himself. So the term Allah, or what we call in Arabic, Lafdul Jalala, the term of honor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is khabar for inna. This is its grammatical position in this particular sentence. خلق السماوات والأرض. Created the heavens and the earth. What does that mean? أوجدهما من العدم على وجه الإحكام والإتقان. He brought them into existence from nullity or from non-existence. In a manner of precision and mastery. That's what Allah did. Brought them into existence. They never existed before. There were no heavens, no earth. Allah Azza wa Jal created them. في ستة أيام, in 6 days. ومدة هذه الأيام كأيامنا التي نعرف. The days we are counting here, you okay?
Yeah.
The days we are counting here, or mention, are equal to the days which we know. Because we know that the days in the sight of Allah are unlike the days. Alfu sana mimma ta'udun. Mimma ta'udun, afwan. It's equal to 1,000 years from that which we count. But here, the Shaykh said that the days mentioned in 6 days are the 6 days that we, you know, the 24 hours a day that we know. لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى ذكرها منكرا فتحمل على ما كان معروفا. Because Allah mentioned it in the form of the indefinite. Munkara is indefinite. So then it is to be understood in the context of that which the people know. The only perception we have of 6 days is 6 days. Right? So this is what is intended. وأول هذه الأيام, which is the first of these days? Don't read from the book and tell me. The first of these days. What is the first of these days?
Friday.
Friday? Bob, wrong answer. Next?
Monday.
Monday, as-salam. Because of the lecture on IMC? No. Sunday, alhamdulillah. Do you have a book? No. Sunday was the first day. Then what would be 6 days from Sunday? Watch how many are going to get it wrong.
Thursday.
No.
6 days Thursday.
No.
6 days Thursday. 6 days from Sunday,
Saturday. See, I knew you guys. So both wrong answers.
Friday.
Friday. Come on, brothers, count it.
From Sunday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Remember, we're counting 6 days. Come on, math, man. Okay, we turn it into a math class. Okay. Now, منها أربعة أيام للأرض ويومان للسماء. You should know this. These 6 days are actually divided. Four of which were dedicated to the creation of earth. And two of which were dedicated to the creation of the heavens. Okay? Four for the earth. And two for the heavens. So that's six.
From Sunday to Friday.
Now, as Allah broke that down in Surah Fussilat, the one that is detailed. Allah says, قُلْ أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَكْفُرُونَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَرْضَ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ وَتَجْعَلُونَ لَهُ أَنْدَادًا ذَلِكَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say, do you disbelieve in He who created the earth in 2 days and you set up equals to Him and rivals with Him? That is the Lord of the worlds, Allah Azza wa Jal. وَجَعَلَ فِيهَا رَوَاسِيَ مِن فَوْقِهَا رَوَاسِيَ مِن فَوْقِهَا. And he placed mountains that are firm over it. وَبَارَكَ فِيهَا. And he blessed it. وَقَدَّرَ فِيهَا أَقْوَتَهَا. And he measured therein its sustenance. فِي أَرْبَعَةِ أَيَّامٍ سَوَاءً لِلسَّائِلِينَ. In 4 days equal to anyone who asks. So Allah broke it down. 2 days for the earth, I'm sorry, 4 days for the earth, and 2 days for the heavens. وَقَدَّرَ فِي أَقْوَاتَ فِي أَرْبَعَةِ أَيَّامٍ سَوَاءً لِلسَّائِلِينَ. نعم. This is Surah Fussilat, verses 9 and 10. فَصَارَتْ أَرْبَعَ. Then Allah says, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ وَهِيَ دُخَانٌ. Then Allah rose over towards the heaven while it was smoke. فقال لها وللأرض ائتيا طوعا أو كرها. And he said to it, to meaning to the earth, to the heavens, I'm sorry, and to the earth, come willingly or unwillingly. قالتا أتينا طائعين. They said, nay, but we will come willingly. فقضاهن سبع سماوات في يومين. Then he completed and finished from their creation, and he made them seven heavens in 2 days. So Allah decreed them to be seven heavens in 2 days. So that's clear. 4 days for the earth, 2 days for the heaven. Does anyone have any misconceptions? Everything is clear. Right. Now, let me ask you a pop question. Whose creation is greater? The heavens and the earth, or the son of Adam?
By the days it looks like the earth took longer to create, so it's greater.
Okay. Any other statements?
Whose creation is
greater? The creation of Adam and his progeny, or the creation of the heavens and the earth? Which is a greater creation?
Creation of Adam.
Anyone else supports Captain Ibrahim?
I.
You support him?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, The Quran refutes that. Rather, Allah says, verily the creation of the heavens is greater than the creation of men. But most people don't know.
But Allah only created all the things.
Now there's no but when Allah says something, right? You know, Allah said that the لَخَلْقُ السَّمَوَاتِ, I believe that's how the ayah, لَخَلْقُ السَّمَوَاتِ الْأَكْبَرُ مِنْ خَلْقِ I need to get the reference. I will give you the reference before we finish. But there's a clear ayah where Allah says that the creation of the heavens and earth is greater than the creation of man. Right? I mean, look at the vastness of the universe. And look at man who came from sperm. Nothing. There's nothing in comparison. And right now, you see with the cloning, you know, the people bring in, you know, they've been trying to make a cloning sheep and so on and so forth. But let them do something to the heavens and the earth.
Yes.
Hey, man, can't play with that. Let them create another earth and try to inhabit it. This is far-fetched. They will not be able to create another human being, even. But I'm saying, you know, they try to experiment with that. They come up with some, they recreate something Allah created and they try to call it creation, try to fool the people with the terminology. They're not creating anything. We want you to bring something from nothing. Don't go to a pre-existing creation and extract things from it and go through your laboratory, you know, nonsense, and then bring in a creation equal to the creation of Allah. Say, we created this. You do something fresh. Something from nothing, right? They cannot do. But the heavens and the earth, if the rain fell, no one can stop it, ya Sheikh. With all the power we have in the world, all the rockets, all the nuclear weapons, if the rain fell, you cannot block the rain from falling. Ahlan. Waalaikum salam. Yeah, go ahead. You see what I'm saying? So, anyways, remind me to give you the ayah before we leave, inshallah. So you know that. Nice try. Alaykum salam. But you know, that's the reality. طيب. وقوله ثم استوى على العرش. ثم, what does ثم mean?
Then.
Good, mashallah. You guys are learning pretty good Arabic. ثم then. Huh? فتحت الكتاب ثم شربت الماء. I opened a book, then I drank water. ثم, which indicates sequence, events taking place one after the other. They're not taking place simultaneously, right? ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. After that creation of the heavens and the earth, then Allah rose above His throne. This is just a ثُمَّ لِلْتَرْتِيب, to indicate sequence of events. اسْتَوَى بِمَعْنَى عَلَى. اسْتَوَى linguistically means عَلَى, to go above, high above something. This is ala, right? سبح اسم ربك الأعلى. Same word, right? على الشيء أي ارتفع, meaning it went up, it got high, increase, something along these lines. والعرش, who can define العرش for us? Roughly.
Throne,
yeah, that's a translation. I was looking for a definition. I mean, what is a throne? You better know what it's the kursi. Wallah Ibrahim. We learned this already. Allah, I'm
stuck. Where the throne lies upon.
I'm sorry?
Upon the throne lies upon.
No, the throne, the light?
It's upon it, on arsh, the throne. It's like carpet.
But no, the throne is the arsh.
When you,
throne
above
you,
the
arch. No.
When you compare the earth with arch, it's like a ring in the desert.
Okay, hold on. We're getting some sort of confusion here. Let me make sure that this is understood correctly. The definition or the translation of the word arsh, the Arabic word arsh in English is throne. They are not. You may be meaning the kursi,
yes.
The footstool, which is translated as chair. But in fact, it's the footstool, because it mentions that Allah Azza wa Jal has His feet there, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, delete the images. No images. There's nothing like Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing like Allah. Forget it. You're not going to get there. But we believe in the revelation we received. So the kursi, in comparison to the throne, no, let's go a further step down. The kursi in comparison to the heavens and the earth, huh? The heavens and the earth are like a ring in a vast desert compared to the kursi. Then the kursi in comparison to the throne is again like a ring in a vast spacious desert. And Allahu Akbar, Allah is bigger and greater. So when we think of the throne, there's no idea that Allah is in need of the throne. When He rose above it, that it is He's something that He needs for any sort of maintenance. He maintains the throne. The throne doesn't maintain Allah. You follow me? Because there's nothing greater than Allah. The throne doesn't encompass Allah. لأن الله, nothing encompasses Him. Right? Nothing encompasses His greatness and majesty. So we have to really have an understanding. يعني now, as tiny creatures, we are so visible to Allah. Because sometimes, you know, the shaitan will tell you, far away, you know, nobody pays attention to you. Yalla, you can get by, you know, get this fulus haram, or get this look, you know, snuck somewhere, and so on and so forth. But in fact, you are so observed, because all of these heavens and earth are so tiny in comparison to Allah Azza wa Jal. So everything is just clear, right, to Allah in terms of hearing, seeing, knowing, and so on and so forth. So this is what you know, khashya of Allah is. You become afraid. Say, hey, you know, I need to act right. So then the Muslim watches his tongue and what he says, and he watches his ears and what he hears, and he watches his eyes, where they go. And then that you become always remembering, Allah is watching me. I cannot run away. I cannot hide. There's no this distance which the shaitan tried to instill in our thinking, so, you know, get away, is removed. Once we have these right understanding, the correct understanding, right? So this is the benefit of believing in what we believe in. And all praise is due to Allah that He made us among Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, inshallah. طيب, إذن, this is the Arsh. The Shaykh says, والعرش excuse me, هو ذلك السقف المحيط بالمخلوقات. سقف means ceiling. سقف, ceiling. It is that ceiling which encompasses the creation. The arsh is the ceiling which encompasses the creation. وَلَا نَعْلَمُ مَادَّةَ هَذَا الْعَرْشِ. We do not know the substance of which this arsh is made. We don't know what it is. Gold, silver, iron, metal. We have no knowledge of that because nothing has been conveyed to us. So what the arsh is in fact of in terms of substance, or matter, what kind of matter it is made up of, Allahu Ta'ala A'lam. We don't know. Above the heavens. It's the heavens, isn't it, from the creation? The universe, isn't it, from the creation? Everything that has been created, including the throne, is the greatest of the creation of Allah, and is the ceiling for everything. And Allah is above the throne, meaning above His whole creation, separate from them. Separate from the creation. You see that point? There's no
anything higher than that.
Yeah, exactly. The highest thing is the throne, and Allah is above the throne. So the whole throne, the throne with the whole creation, is Allah is above that. And so we don't have an issue with what some of the people may make. Some of the issues the people may make. Anyways, I'm not going to go there. لأنه لم يرد عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حديث صحيح يبين من أين خلق هذا العرش. Because we don't have a single authentic narration from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم which teaches us of which material is the throne made. لكننا نعلم أنه أكبر المخلوقات التي نعرفها. But we do know that it is the greatest of the creation of Allah which we know, the عرش. وأصل العرش في اللغة السرير الذي يختص به الملك. The linguistically now, okay, linguistically, what arsh means in the language of the Arabs is the bed, the vast fancy bed which is particular to the king. You know, the king usually, and back in the days, he would have this fancy bed with this silk, you know, brocade, whatever, and, you know, of course, whatever they had from women going around, you know, like a fan, you know, with the fan thingy, he's eating fruit, sitting on his side, getting fatter and fatter, you know, this old image of the, you know, kings of back in the day. But that throne was that very unique place where he rested. Nowadays it developed into a chair, right? A special chair for the king. But back then it was like a whole throne, right? It's a sarir. It's a bed. يعني that has extensions and so on and so forth. ومعلوم أن السرير الذي يختص به الملك سيكون سريرا عظيما فخما لا نظير له. And it is known that a bed of this nature, particular to the king, will be a very fancy bed, you know, unlike the beds of the regular people in their homes. وفي هذه الآية من again, this is not, we're saying this is not applicable to the عرش of Allah. Okay, we're saying what the word arsh means in the language. The reality of that is unknown to us. What that means in terms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu a'lam. You just know it's the greatest of the creation. The reality of that, we don't apply what I mentioned earlier or what the Shaykh mentioned earlier to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'am. وفي هذه الآية من صفات الله تعالى عدة صفات لكن المؤلف ساقها لإثبات صفة واحدة وهي الاستواء على العرش. Now in fact in this ayah we deduce or we learn about a number of qualities of Allah. However, the author only quoted this ayah because he's trying to use only one thing. He's trying to prove one attribute, which is the attribute of rising above the throne. وأهل السنة والجماعة وأهل السنة والجماعة يؤمنون بأن الله تعالى مستو على عرشه استواء يليق بجلاله ولا يماثل استواء المخلوقين. Very fundamental. The people of Sunnah and those who were joined and became a group upon the Sunnah, أهل السنة والجماعة, they believe that Allah is, وعليكم السلام, أو السلام عليكم وعليكم السلام. They believe that Allah مستوين is in the state of being above the throne. He has risen above the throne in a manner befitting His greatness and majesty, unlike the rising above which is associated with the creation. So any kind of rising above which may be done by a person, somebody brings it a table and he rises over the table, right? Or a man or a cow or anything will rise above a mountain and say this mountain, this cow rose above this mountain. Anything that is particular and associated with the creation is not applicable to Allah. And the rising of Allah above the throne, which we believe in, is unlike that of the creation. So again, this whole anthropomorphic understanding is unavailable in your mind. You don't have any human qualities or imagination of any human characteristics in terms of Allah's reality, Allah's being, and Allah's actions as well. The same way there's nothing like Allah in His essence, then there's nothing like Allah in His attributes, and there's nothing like Allah in His actions. So the action of rising above the throne is unlike anything that the human beings will do. You see, but we believe. Because Allah told us that in the Quran, seven different times in the Quran, this was made an issue. And if people were to go back to the aqidah of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, they will have no choice but to believe in this. Because he declared a disbeliever who denies that. But people don't tell you that today. They will not quote that today. They will follow some Ash'ari belief system which are usually associated with the Hanafi madhab. So the people associated with the Hanafiya, the Ash'ariya, right? And then the one accuses Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah wrongfully. In fact, if you were to go back to the book of Imam al-Dhahabi, Al-Ulu lil-Aziz al-Ghaffar, the transcendency of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he quoted all of the statements of the A'imma, beginning with the four Imams and moving on to Bukhari, Muslim and everybody else. All of them agreed on this, including Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. He said whoever denies that Allah is above His creation is a disbeliever. He has disbelieved. Of course, he's an imam, he can make that statement. And the ulama say after the person has been taught, maybe he's ignorant. It doesn't mean everyone who doesn't believe this now, we say that you're a kafir. This is none of our business. But we say this belief system may take you out of Islam. Because it contradicts the Quran and the Sunnah and the Sahaba and everybody that we know. With the exception of some minority who deviated from this path, who are not to be even taken into consideration with this error that they made. Jameel. طيب فإن سألت ما معنى الاستواء عندهم, if you ask according to أهل السنة والجماعة what does استواء mean, what does it really mean, فمعناه العلو والاستقرار. He said it means rising above or transcendency and settlement. Okay. وقد ورد عن السلف في تفسيره أربعة معاني. It has been narrated from our Salaf, meaning our righteous predecessors, not any group that you have today. We're from the our righteous predecessors, our brothers, you know, the early generations. These are the Salaf. four different meanings. الأول على. The first meaning to go to be high above, right? يعني to be high above, to go up. والثاني ارتفع, to rise. والثالث صعد, to elevate. والرابع استقر, and the fourth is to settle. طيب but the sheikh said ولكن على وارتفع وصعد معناها واحد, the first three are one in meaning, whether elevate or to rise or to go up, it's the same meaning. أما استقر فهو يختلف عن, as for this other fourth meaning which is to settle, he said this is different from the first three. ودليلهم في ذلك, their evidence for that, أنها في جميع مواردها في اللغة العربية لم تأتي إلا لهذا المعنى إذا كانت متعدية بعلى. Where did they get that addition of settlement and rising above? Rising and settling. Where did they deduce that? They said in the language of the Arabs, even as you see in the Quran, every time the word istiwa was mentioned with the preposition على, استوى على, it gave that meaning. Going above something and settling accordingly. Then the Shaykh will give you some ayat from the Quran. قال الله تعالى فإذا استويت أنت ومن معك على الفلك. Speaking to Nuh عليه الصلاة والسلام, and when you, meaning Nuh, and have embarked on the ship, you and whoever believed with you. So the idea is استويت, same word, right? The ta here is بضمير متصل in reference to Nuh عليه الصلاة والسلام. It's like a pronoun. It's a pronoun here which is replacing the noun Nuh. So instead of saying Nuh, the pronoun, like you say Ahmed likes to eat chicken, he thinks it's lovely. Instead of saying Ahmed loves to eat chicken, Ahmed thinks it's lovely, you say the pronoun he, because you know that it's in reference to Ahmed. So the ta here, instead of repeating Nuh, فَإِذَا اسْتَوَيْتَ يَا نُوح, or إِذَا اسْتَوَى نُوح, اسْتَوَيْتَ meaning نُوح, because the context indicates that he is being addressed. So if you rise above it, embark upon the ship, if you rise over the ship, you and those, how do you get on the ship? How do you get on the ship? You get on top of the ship, settle down. Right? You settle down. Otherwise you may fall off. Something along these lines. We're just trying to say the linguistic meaning. This is the linguistic meaning. Again, all this is not applicable to Allah, because the throne is nothing in comparison to Allah. But we're just trying to give you the meaning. So then this is the meaning. استويت على. That indicates going over something, above something, and settlement as well. وقال تعالى. This was Surah Al-Mu'minun, verse 28. The second ayah the Shaykh used from the Quran to prove that in the language of the Arabs, استوى على gives that the only that meaning, we don't know of any other meaning, is in Surah Az-Zukhruf, verses 12 and 13. Actually, you say this in your dua of rukub, the latter part that is. وَجَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنَ الْفُلْكِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ
سُجُود.
سُجُود؟ What sujood, ya Shaykh?
In rukub you told.
So we say some dua you told, no, that's
how you rukub, rukub.
Oh,
rukub. Rukub, I'm sorry, riding your car, your animal. Hey, I'm like, what is the brother talking about? Rukub, aywa. Rukub, there we have a number of words that have ruku in the beginning and end with something else. Hey, rukub is actually yarkab shay, to ride something, right? Like a car, animal, so on and so forth. وَجَعَلَ لَكُم مِّنَ الْفُلْكِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ مَا تَرْكَبُونَ. That's where the word comes from. لِتَسْتَوُوا عَلَى ظُهُورِهِ ثُمَّ تَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ رَبِّكُمْ إِذَا اسْتَوَيْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ وَتَقُولُوا سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي سَخَّرَ لَنَا هَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ وَإِنَّا إِلَى رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. That's the dua of riding. Now that's what I was talking about. So the point being is Allah says, and He had made for you from the fulk, from the ships and the an'am and the cattle or the livestock ما تركبون, that which you ride. لتستووا على ظهوره, so you may mount or rise above their backs, whether it is the ship or the animal, right? In order that you may mount, you may mount on there, and then you remember the bounty of Allah upon you once you have done so, right? This is يعني, more or less the interpretation of the meaning. So the point being here, that again, لتستووا على, first, استويت أنت ومن معك على الفلك, استويت على الفلك, لتستووا على ظهوره, استوى على العرش. Every time you see استوى or استواء, استويت, however it is, you know, the derivative of that word, with على, the meaning is the same. Has to do with going over something, rising above something. عرش, throne. جميل. وفسره أهل التعطيل بأن المراد به الاستيلاء, وقالوا معنى ثم استوى على العرش يعني ثم استولى عليه. And the people of denial, those who deny the apparent meaning of the Quran, may Allah guide them, they explain استواء with استيلاء. What does that mean? استيلاء, conquering. To conquer something. How do you conquer something? How do you conquer something? Do you conquer something that belongs to you? What do you usually conquer? Something that is not yours. Something that you get via force, with power, with ability, after a battle. We conquered their land, right? Otherwise, it's not conquering. So invading. Conquering entails some battle. So these people are saying that Allah conquered the throne, because that's what the word istila means. So then what does that mean? Because of them distorting the apparent meaning, because they're trying to deny Allah rising above His throne, they fell into something crazy, which is saying that Allah had to conquer His own throne. After what? A'udhu billah. You see what happens? Anyone, anytime, anyone deviates from the clear teachings, he's bound to fall into error, and fall into a greater error than the one he thought he was avoiding. This is the consequence of not accepting the Quran and the Sunnah according to this pure understanding, that you fell into something much more grave than what you were trying to deny. Had you believed in what Allah said in the Quran, kept quiet, life would be good. That's what we know from the word istiwa. Allah says in the Quran, nothing like Allah, I mind my business. I don't have any problems. I have zero problems. What do I want? Why do I want to go on there and deny and debate and say, no, this is not what is intended. This is what is intended. Give me an evidence. I have no evidence. It's just my mind. Doesn't allow me to believe that Allah is doing such and such. Why are you doing this to yourself? It's a very simple equation. Stick to the formula and you will win. But, you know, it's amazing, the affair of the creation. يعني أي نعم. واستدلوا لتحريفهم هذا بدليل موجب وبدليل سالب. Now these people have used in order to support their distortion of the ayah, an evidence which they said necessitates this understanding, and another one which is the opposite. أما الدليل الموجب, they said, فقالوا إنا نستدل بقول شاعر. In terms of what they said is necessary for us to understand istawa as istawla, they use the quotation from who? A poet who wrote a poem, and in his poem he said, قد استوى بشر على العراق من غير سيف أو دم مهراق. He said, he, Bushr his name, has overcome or became victorious over Iraq without any sword or any blood being spilled. And the word used is istawa, and they're saying that he in fact dominated and overcame. He overcame and he dominated. He was victorious. Bishr ibn Marwan, his name, the son of Marwan, استوى يعني استوى على العراق. They say that this means استواء means استيلاء, because he conquered Iraq without pulling out a sword, spilling any blood. So now they're using a verse in poetry written by, as you will see, an anonymous person to prove that the word istiwa means istila, because the word used in the poem is that. قالوا وهذا بيت من رجل عربي. They said this is a verse of poetry from an Arab man. ولا يمكن أن يكون المراد به استوى على العراق. And it is impossible that what is intended that he rose above Iraq, right? Especially when they didn't have helicopters back then. يعني على العراق, meaning he became above Iraq. لا سيما أنه في ذلك الوقت لا طائرات يمكن أن يعلو على العراق بها. Especially that during the time there were no airplanes where this would even this be applicable for him or to him. طب جميل. Now we will refute the heck out of them. Don't let them fool you. And this is going to be demolished from the ground up. But until then, we will continue to say what they said. So we will know how to refute them if ever they bring the shubha to you, right? You will know how to answer it. وأما الدليل السلبي, as for the negating evidence which they presented to refute, فقالوا لو أثبتنا أن الله مستوي على عرشه بالمعنى الذي تقولون وهو العلو والاستقرار لزم من ذلك أن يكون محتاجا إلى العرش وهذا مستحيل واستحالة اللازم تدل على استحالة الملزوم. So they said, if we were to affirm, as you are claiming, that Allah indeed has risen above His throne in a way which you are explaining, as in rising above and settling, then this necessitates that Allah is in need of His throne. That Allah is in need of His throne. That's what they're saying now. This is their argument. Well, and this is impossible. And that which is necessary, if it's impossible, then that makes the consequence also impossible. Right? So the point being is, they're saying, look, if you say that Allah is rising above His throne, that must mean that Allah needs His throne. Is this correct though?
No.
He doesn't need, because He is the maintainer of everything. As-Samad, the one who maintains everything. So how can you claim that Allah needs it because He rose above it? While explaining that it is the ceiling of the creation and Allah is above the seven heavens and above all of the creation. You see what I'm saying? Allah maintains it. It does not maintain Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَزِمِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ أَنْ يَكُونَ جِسْمًا. And they say also that means that Allah must have a body. He must be a body. لِأَنَّ اسْتِوَاءَ شَيْءٍ عَلَى شَيْءٍ بِمَعْنَى عُلُوهِ عَلَيْهِ يَعْنِي أَنَّهُ جِسْمٍ. Because they say if something was to rise above something else, meaning it became over that other thing, then it must be a body as well. Right? Again, trying to understand Allah according to human standards. This is the sickness. This is the essence of the sickness. They keep thinking of human beings, applications that they have seen with their own eyes, and they insist on applying this to Allah. Whereby or whereas we say, no, whatever is human standards is not applicable to Allah. So we believe in what Allah said, and we don't have this issue where we, if we don't understand how this happens with the creation, then it must be with the Creator. We don't have this issue because the Creator is unlike the creation. SubhanAllah. Very basic and logical. وَلَزِمَ أَنْ يَكُونَ مَحْدُودًا. They went on to say that means that Allah must be limited. لِأَنَّ الْمُسْتَوِي عَلَى الشَّيْءِ يَكُونُ مَحْدُودًا. Whatever rises above something, then he is limited to that which he is above. إذا استويت على البعير فأنت محدود في منطقة معينة محصور بها وعلى حدود وعلى محدود أيضا. They said because if you were to rise over a camel, again they're thinking of human standards, then you are bound by the geography of that camel, right? You're bound by that area and you're surrounded by it. So if you say that Allah rose above His throne, then the same thing must be applicable to Allah. أعوذ بالله. والرد وهذه الأشياء الثلاثة التي زعموا أنها تلزم من إثبات أن الاستواء بمعنى العلو والارتفاع. These are the three things that they use to negate the meaning that we believe that استواء means rising above and rising above. Now refuting them shall be postponed till next week, inshallah. Hopefully not to have the shaitan play games with you until next week, but to keep you excited and looking forward inshallah to seeing how we're going to lay the smack down, as they say in some other countries, on these people, and explain to them that this is nonsense and your foundations are baseless and your arguments are worthless and you're only puffing smoke. Nothing of value, nothing strong, nothing that is convincing. You are using philosophical theories that were introduced by philosophers who themselves did not even believe in God or did not even know who Allah was, and you're trying to understand Allah according to philosophy. You will never get there. You know, we understand the Quran and the Sunnah and Allah according to the teachings of Allah and the instructions of the Prophet Muhammad SAW, who explained the Quran. The fact that they didn't have these philosophical arguments, that tells you that they never thought of this the way these people are trying to think. So we accept them face value. But the practical refutation, which is very, very powerful and interesting, will be dealt with next week inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.